Father, we come to you with one more opportunity, Lord, I have to stand before these precious people. And I pray, God, that as we open your word and as we see the truth of your word, Lord, just like we've prayed each night, that we'd have courage, Lord, to allow the word to confront our lives, to allow your spirit, Lord, to work in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, and as we talked about last night, Lord, that you would just fill us with your spirit. Lord, that we would see you. So we love you. We trust you. And oh, how we need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Before I jump into the sermon tonight, I do want to just thank you for the privilege of being here the last 4 days, I guess it's been. It feels like it's been longer, but in a good way. We all just said we were tired, but in a good way. You know, it's like the good tired. The Lord's been working in our hearts and hopefully in your hearts. And it's been a good week. Amen? And it's been a joy to be with you. And the reality is I've taken a nap 4 days in a row. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to figure out how to fit that in when I go back to Colorado, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that. So for a pastor to be able to come for a week and just share with you all and to be able to spend time, and I stayed with Evan and Liz and their kids and got to love on them and rekindle our friendship. And it's just been a much-needed break for me, and I am deeply, deeply grateful for the opportunity to come here. 30 years ago, my uncle said to me, and I was in somewhat disbelief. He says, God's going to call you to be a preacher. And I looked at him like he was crazy. And here I am, somewhere near Iowa, standing before God's people. And what a privilege. I want to ask you a question tonight to begin our time together and in the Word. I just want to ask you, what you're willing to lay aside? What is it you're willing to lay down tonight? What is it you're willing to put down that you've been carrying? What is it that you're willing to let go of? What is it that you're willing to stop trying to figure out yourself and allow the Lord to work? We've been talking all week in similar terms about God working in us and pushing us through difficult times and challenges. And I began Sunday morning in Hebrews, and I want to finish in Hebrews tonight. We're going to be in chapter 12 if you want to turn there. We'll read it in just a moment. I'm convinced that part of the struggle of this life is that we carry a lot of stuff. We carry burdens that we've sung about tonight. We carry the weight of the world, of our sin, as we talked about. We carry the past and the good and the bad. I had the opportunity to look with the kids through my phone today and looking at some of the pictures. Came across the picture of the day Evan and Liz were married. And I looked younger, and my kids, wow. I showed them a picture of then and now, and you know, my boys are now 17 and 15, and they're taller than me, and they were just little guys, and 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, something like that, and there's good things in the past, troubling things in the past, and we can easily hold on to all of that. We can hold on to nostalgia, wishing things were like they used to be. There's a lot of things we carry around every day. There's a lot of things that weigh us down. And I just want to ask you tonight if you just consider that question. You've come here, many of you, I've seen you each night. Some of you, maybe just tonight or maybe a couple nights this week. And just wonder if the Lord's showing you something that you need to lay down. Maybe if you're not a believer and you've never given your life over to Christ, maybe you just need to lay down the pride of thinking you can do everything by yourself. Or the skepticism you have about faith, or all of the reasons why you shouldn't be a Christian or are afraid to follow him. Maybe you need to lay down that. Maybe you need to lay down the burdens of just things that have been happening in your life because you're tired. The writer of Hebrews, if you remember what I said over the two sermons on Sunday, he's writing to a group of people who were discouraged and distracted. A group of people who were having a hard time persevering in their faith in the Lord. And he's encouraging them in every way he can to stay on track. Stay on track and keep their eyes focused on Jesus Christ. We come up on chapter 12, which ironically comes right after chapter 11. And chapter 11 is a faith chapter where the writer of Hebrews gives kind of the heroes of the faith. And he talks about Abraham and Moses and even Rahab, the prostitute, and calls them the faithful, that it was by faith that they followed the Lord. And this faith that they had, he was appealing to their history, and he was appealing to those who had been around them and those they knew about in their history and the heroes of the faith that they looked up to. And we come upon chapter 12. And for one more time, in the tradition of Emmanuel Baptist Church, let's stand and read verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Amen. You may be seated. The writer transitions in this passage from chapter 11 after he describes the heroes of the faith. And he says, therefore, that means he's connecting that to the previous comments that and writing that he had done. He says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight. First thing I want you to think about tonight, and as I said, he was appealing to their forefathers. Do you remember in chapter 1, if you were here Sunday morning, we talked about how chapter 1 begins with this idea that God had spoke through the prophets in the past, but now he was speaking through his son. It's a similar device he's using here to get their attention to say, since we're surrounded by such all these witnesses that I've just detailed for you, Abraham and Moses, your heroes in the faith that trusted God, since that's who we're surrounded by, that should then motivate us to have similar faith that they had. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been people in every step of my path that have impacted me spiritually. Amen? Would you say that? Maybe it's a mother or father or grandfather. Maybe it's a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. I had a Sunday school teacher when I was a teenager. It was a lady who went to our church, and her daughter, her husband never came, and her daughter and her came faithfully, and she became our Sunday school teacher. Her daughter was similar in age to me, and there was all of us similar age kids together, and faithfully she'd be there every week. Her name was Linda. And she'd be there every week, and she'd have us over her house, and she would make stuff for us and take us on outings and just love on us and always tell us that we should put our faith in Jesus Christ. And every step along the way, my parents, for me, that's a given. They brought us to church every week and loved on us and encouraged us to trust the Lord. But there was always someone in every church that I've been in, even as a pastor, where someone has come alongside me and that they have been an encouragement to me. A lot of times, you know, I'm about middle age now, but there's always been someone older than me who's just kind of been in my path, helping me remember to trust the Lord. Not to mention, I think, about the history of my family. And I think we can get great motivation and great inspiration from those who've gone before us. That's what the writer of Hebrews is doing. Say, look at Moses, look at Abraham. Look at even Rahab the prostitute who was morally a mess, but God used her in a powerful way because she had faith in him. And a lot of times we think we're just on an island, and we think that this Christianity we're trying to live out, or maybe you're considering trusting the Lord. You've never given your life to him. You never professed him through baptism. You've never really kind of shown your hand about where your faith is. You're like, I don't know. We can get great encouragement, folks, that God has been faithful throughout time. He has been faithful to his people, and we have seen people put their faith in him. So this is the device he's using. He's getting them to look back so that they could look forward. Now, one of the problems is we look back and we get stuck. I mean, the past, you know, sometimes we look at the past. You ever, like, rewrite the past? You know, I think about those good times, all those good times we had. You know, as I think back, boy, it would be nice if we could go back to those good times when I was a kid and we were doing this. Not realizing my parents were in the other room pulling out their hair going, how are we going to pay for all of this? Right? Or that there was some struggle in my extended family of relationships and hardships and things that as a kid I wouldn't have realized. But sometimes we can look back in the past and we can get stuck at, man, boy, I wish we could go back there. But folks, God is not calling us to go to the past. He's calling us to be on a path before him and to right towards him. And if you're here tonight and you feel like you're stuck, you're not sure which way to go, let me encourage you from John 14 when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, we have to make tons of decisions in our lives about where we work and who we marry and where we go to college. And you know, my oldest son is starting to apply to going to start applying to colleges, and his mom's a nervous wreck about where he might go, and he wants to go way far away. And you got to make all those decisions. But in the reality, God's not calling my son to a college. He's not calling me to a church. He's calling all of us to him and him alone. And it's when we get off of that path, we get really messed up. Someone who's not a believer and hasn't put their faith in the Lord, it can be easy to say, well, this will make me happy and that'll make me happy. And if I do this, that'll be better and then that'll be better. But understand this, that God is wanting us to not stay in the past. He wants us to acknowledge the faith of the past, but he wants us to have a faith today. And I want to encourage you, maybe there's something you need to lay down to be able to get out of the past and to be able to get on the path that he's marked out. Look what he says here. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. He's writing to these Jewish believers, these newly converted believers, and he's saying, listen, let's acknowledge and be motivated by the past, but let's deal with the present. Let's deal with what's happening right now. And he understood, the writer of Hebrews understood, that folks were dealing with some stuff. You ever just have a day and you're like, this day was hard. And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Because in the present, we need to deal with the stuff. He describes it as the weight that's on an individual or a weight that's on them or the sin that entangles or clings close to them. And if we have the ability to understand that, yes, God's calling us towards him. Jesus is calling us to follow him and trust him, but we must deal with the mess we're in right now. Our world has somehow come up with an idea that we can follow God and not deal with right now. Follow Jesus and not deal with my sin. Follow Jesus and still have the past in mind. Follow Jesus and still have all the weight of the world on me. I want to encourage you tonight, all of us, to deal with right now. Is there a weight that you're carrying? Is there some burden or some thing in the past you're stuck in? I know lots of people, and I've had the privilege of counseling lots of people as a pastor. Boy, what a privilege for someone to come to your office and say, Pastor, help me. And I always think about it, and I hear the stories, and I hear the details of people's lives, and I know the details of my own life and my own extended family, and I just think, wow, that's heavy. That's heavy. And some of you are dealing with some pretty heavy things. Amen? Just things that have you worried, and you wake up kind of, boy. Folks, we have to live in this world, and we have to figure out the details of this world. But I think what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, stop carrying everything yourself. You remember, they were worried about persecution. They were worried about being basically excommunicated from their families. They were worried about all of those things. And I think he's saying to them, just put that stuff down and put your eyes on Jesus because he can carry it. Do you remember, I think it's in Matthew, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Cast all your cares on me. When's the last time you just laid things down at the cross? How many of you have trouble worrying sometimes? Whew. I do too. I'm a planner. Like, I want my life planned out. Like, I got my, like, 6-month plan, my 3-year plan, my 5-year plan. And my wife and I are very different in that. She lives in the moment better than any person I've ever met. And it drives me absolutely crazy. But I know my worry and my planning drives her crazy. Because I can get caught up in what about this and what about this and how's this going to work out? All the while knowing if I look back at my relationship with the Lord, I see, oh, that's what he was doing. Oh, that's how he figured that out. Oh, that's how. And all of a sudden I start to see, Daryl, God has all of this. But not only does he say lay away this, the worry of the world, but I think he's saying deal with the sin that's in your life. And we talked about that the other night, didn't we? We talked about that sin that just weighs us down and keeps us entangled. One of the primary barriers to someone coming to Christ is the reality that they would have to repent and admit their sin. We kind of live in a world that's, I'm okay, you're okay, right? Don't judge me, I won't judge you, we'll all be okay. And the reality is we must deal with our sin. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I got up in a church service one time and I said, welcome to church, sinners. My pastor didn't think it was that funny. But isn't that the truth? All of us, every one of us, have to get rid of that sin that so, I love the ESV's description of it, that clings so closely. And doesn't sin just do that? It trips us up. NIV uses so easily entangles. It just trips us up and keeps us from going where we want to go. And if you're on the path to faith in Christ, if you've never given your life to him, sin is what's tripping you up. It's clinging to you. You can't get it off. It reminds me of walking through, like, you ever walk through a really big spider web? And you're just like, you can't get it off you, right? You do everything you can, but you can't seem to get it off you. That's what sin is. And it just entangles us and clings to us. The writer of Hebrews is saying to these people, and I think the Lord's saying to us tonight, I want you to follow me. I want you to keep your eyes on me. But you're only going to be able to do that if you lay down the burdens of your life and if you deal with the sin that's right before you. And as we discovered the other night, the beauty of the reality of sin is that there is forgiveness for that sin. I had a pastor say to me one time, you know, when someone tells me that they're struggling with sin, I always tell them that's good news. I'm like, what do you mean it's good news? It's good news because Jesus has provided a way out of that sin, and it's through his blood and his sacrifice. That you can be forgiven. He goes on to say, and let us run with endurance the race marked out for us. So first of all, we've got to put off those things. And then run the race that's marked out or that's set out for us. You may ask, Pastor, well, what is that race for us? Well, I think it's multifaceted that ends up at Jesus. But for some of you here tonight, the race that he has marked out for you is for you to trust him with your life. Because the Bible says it's his desire that all come to repentance and faith. That means you, and that means me. That all of us would believe. That all of us would trust him with our lives. And for the believer, maybe you've given your life to him like you did, like I did a long time ago. What's the race he has marked out for me? That is to submit my life to him and to serve him with everything I have. With all of everything that he's given me, with everything that he's given me opportunity to do, that I would just see that he gets the glory in all of it. Now, I'm going to make you all use your imaginations for a second, because you're going to need your imagination. And I do have some proof on this. So, I used to run 5K races. You're having to use your imagination, aren't you? You're like, come on, dude. Really? You talk about rewriting history. No. Evan knows, right? Evan said to me today, you're the one that got me running. I used to run a few pounds ago. Knee surgery, all that stuff that happened. I used to run 5Ks off and on for years. One time I signed up for this race in Lexington, Kentucky. In fact, it was the last race I ran before I had knee surgery a few years ago. Me and my friends and my wife, we signed up for this race, and we decided we were going to run it. It was in the middle of August at night in Lexington, Kentucky. It was the hottest day I've ever experienced in my entire life. And I decided, at my size, to run a 5K. We get to that race, and I think I can do this. I've been training. And we got there, and there were so many people there that there were so many people in this 5K race that I think the course actually turned out to be, instead of 3 miles, about 5 miles. Because you had to kind of run along the edges. You couldn't just run in the middle of the road because there were so many people. Well, this goes through downtown Lexington. If you've been in downtown Lexington, it's like every other city. There's buildings and roads back and forth. I didn't know the route. I just followed the crowd because I guarantee you I wasn't in front. We start running, and I'm feeling pretty good, and we get going on this race, and I realize that, okay, I've been quite a few minutes into this. I had songs that I listened to, so I kind of knew where I might be in the race, but again, it turned out to be a lot longer. So it's hot, I'm sweating, I'm getting dehydrated, and I think this has to be over soon. I look ahead of me a few blocks, and I can see a bunch of people and lights and people cheering, and I'm thinking, man, I've made it to the end. This is awesome. This is awesome. I'm hot, but I think I've done okay. And I'm slowly jogging, thinking I'm going to get to the end. Well, just before I got to that part, I looked over to my right, down this street, and there were people running back that way. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. This is the hottest night I've ever run. My knee hurts. I thought I was done. And I thought to myself, as I was going by that road, I could just cut through. Who's going to blame the big guy for cutting through? They're going to be like, yeah, that's mercy and grace. Go ahead. I mean, I'm part of the, you know, so I'm like, no, I'm going to finish. And I tell you, and it was probably another 3/4 of a mile or a mile that I had to run. And that was the longest of my life. And I finished that race, and I just kind of sat on the ground and collapsed and just thought, Lord, this is probably the end of my life right here. Now, that's a long story to say this. There was a race that was marked out for us to run. But oh, did I want to take a shortcut? Spiritually, sometimes we want to take shortcuts. We want it to be easy. We want to get out of the heat. We want to get out of the pain. Instead of dealing with the sin that's before us, instead of dealing and putting down those burdens that we have in our lives and giving them over to the Lord, we just say, Lord, I'll just keep some of it for me. I've had people increasingly say this to me. Do we really need to go to church to be a Christian? You know, there's statistics that say the average, a person who considers themselves a core church member now comes to church 2 to 3 times a month. We find ways to get around it. Well, there's good preaching on the internet, isn't there? There's guys on the internet that can out-preach me, Evan, and your pastor combined. Because we listen to them too. I had a professor ask that question in class one day. He says, can you be a Christian and not go to church? All of us seminary students decided how smart we were. We were going to debate that. And he let us go on for a few minutes. And some people said, well, yeah, the thief on the cross, he didn't go to church, so he was a Christian. And we kind of going back and forth on all these arguments. We were feeling pretty good about ourselves. He says, you know what? That's not the best question. The question of can you be a Christian and go to church is interesting. But the better question is this. If you are a believer, why would you not want to go to church? Because that's where God's people are. That's where... And sometimes we feel like we can just kind of shortcut things. But he says, run the race that's marked out for you. And let's be honest about this life. Sometimes the race that's marked out for us is hard. And there's tragedy, and there's crisis, and there's problem, and there's hurt. And there's things we didn't think we'd ever experience, and there's all those things happening around us. And we think, Lord, is this the path you really have me on? And he says, yes, this is the path I have you on. talking to a friend the other day. We've lived in Colorado about 4 years, and it looks like the Lord's going to move us on here in the near future. And I said, I'm really having a hard time understanding sometimes why He brought us to Colorado. It's been hard. It's been expensive. There's beautiful snow there, but I'm just not real sure exactly why He brought us here. And he stopped me and he said, Daryl, just run the race that's marked out for you. And this is what He has for you right now. And you're making a difference. Whatever's happening in your life and you're wondering, Lord, there must be another something I should be doing. Seek the Lord on that and see if God just doesn't have you right here at right this point for right now. The race for some of you is to believe upon the Lord Jesus, and the race for some of us is just to keep going on what He's asked us to do. Run it with endurance, he says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The writer of Hebrews says, don't make this about you and what's happening in your life, but I think the NIV translation says, but fix your eyes on Jesus. Look to Jesus. And he describes him as the author and the perfecter of our faith. If you're lacking in faith, the answer is this: look to Jesus. If you're wondering about your footing as a believer, the answer is this: look to Jesus. Because he not only was the author and created your faith, but he perfects your faith. That's because he's the only one we can trust completely. He's the only one who died for us. He's the only one who created us. And he's the only one that has the power to forgive us. Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's think about what we've said here. I asked you a question. What are you willing to lay down? Are you willing to lay down pride? Are you willing to lay down the past? Are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to make sure that you're not just carrying all the weight of the world when we have a Savior, do you remember the other night, who took upon all the weight of the world for you? And are you running the race that he has for you? Had a gentleman meet with me a few years ago. He said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I said, yeah, let's meet for lunch. And he says, Daryl, I want to tell you something that's hard to say. I said, what's that? He said, I want you to know me and my wife are getting divorced. I said, you are? He said, yeah, we're getting divorced. I said, well, tell me what happened. Well, and he kind of recounted a number of things and finally come out that he had been going out with this other woman. And I said, brother, I said, one, as your friend, that makes me very sad. As your pastor, that makes me very troubled. But let me let you know, I've seen people make it through these kind of things. I've seen people reconcile even when it didn't feel like you could. And don't make any decisions. Try and do the right thing. The Lord doesn't want this for you. It's what a pastor would say, right? He said this. He said, Pastor Daryl, that's all well and good, but here's what I think. I think God just wants me to be happy. And happiness for me is to divorce my wife. I said, brother, you're wrong. The Bible says you're wrong. It's not what God wants for you. But here's what he was doing. He was saying, I want a shortcut to happiness. I want a shortcut because things aren't good right now. I want a way out and a loophole in my faith that I can do what I want to do and still say I'm a believer and still say that I trust Jesus. Let me ask you, are you trying to shortcut anything? You're trying to just find a loophole so you don't have to really engage? The things in your life you're just trying to just get by on in your faith? Know this, God has a race marked out for you, and you will find joy even in the midst of trouble. You will find joy even in the midst of hardship if you're staying on the course that he's given you for his glory. But the only way you make it on that course is if you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Finally, let me challenge you. Where are your eyes? Where is your life fixated on? What are you looking to for happiness? Are you looking to a relationship? Are you looking to a job? Are you looking to your kids? That faded for me really quick. Amen. Are you looking to the church? Are you looking to a pastor? Where's your eyes fixed at? What are you looking for? And know this, that unless your eyes are fixed on Jesus Christ, there may be a momentary feeling of a feeling that's good. There may be a momentary time where you think that you're doing okay. But understand this, that the race he has for you and I is that we would be fixated on him. But we can't do that alone. That's why being a part of a church is such a blessing. Because there's people and pastors and friends there that remind us that God's good, that give testimony. I don't know if you guys ever, y'all do testimony sometimes. Isn't that the greatest thing in the world? I wish you all had time to do it tonight, to hear how God's working, because all of a sudden you get encouraged by other people, and you see that people make it through hard stuff. Fixing your eyes on Jesus is something you must resolve to do as an individual, but be supported by God's people. I'll finish with this, another running story. I ran a 5K many years ago. Evan may have even been at this one. But I had been preparing for this 5K, and 3 miles, it was in Michigan, and I had been doing pretty well, and I thought, this is going to be no problem. In fact, I had run my fastest mile I'd ever run at just that week prior. And I thought, boy, this is no problem. I can do this. We get to the race on that Saturday morning. I'm feeling pretty good. I get to mile one, just around mile one, and I had forgotten to double knot my shoes. And I look down, and I'm thinking, I can't stop in time. I'm having a good time here. I'm doing the best I know. I go about another quarter of a mile. Guess what happens? Daryl trips on his laces and falls to the ground. Not only was I embarrassed, but I was discouraged. I was going to have my best time. I was feeling good. I stop. Tie my shoe. I start picking up the pace. Well, maybe I can still keep a good time. I kind of knew where I was at. Guess what? In hurrying, I didn't tie my shoe double knotted. And I get another half mile down the road. I got to stop and tie my shoe. And I'm like, I'm so discouraged. This could have been my best time ever. Personal best right here. And I had it. I get back up. I double knotted at that time. I get back up. I get to about I had about 3/4 of a mile to go. All of a sudden, my legs start feeling like lead. You ever run and do that? You're like, all right, who put the cement on my shoes? And I thought, what in the world? I was so confident today. I don't know if I could see the end. It was the real end this time. I could see the finish line. I thought, well, I'll just do my best. About that time, my friend Jason and my friend Ryan, who are much faster than me, had finished the race, had come back around to where I was at about the 3/4 mark, and started running with me. And they started jogging with me, and they started saying, Daryl, you can do it. Come on, man, you got this. Come on, you got a good time, let's go. I'm like, you guys don't understand. I fell once, I had to stop and tie my shoe twice. My legs are heavy, and I'm just doing the best I can. And they're like, no, you got this. And we get to the half mile, and we get to the quarter mile, and they're like, all right, we get to, a tenth of a mile. They're like, you're going to run, and you're going to sprint this last mile, and you're going to do it. Come on, let's go. And they were with me the whole time. I got to that finish line, and guess what? It was my personal best time ever. To this day, that number stands. there's no way I finish that race without brothers coming alongside me. Not a chance. I'd have given up. If we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, church, we're going to need each other. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got folks in this room cheering you on, saying, follow this Jesus because I followed him and it changed my life. Amen? And they will rejoice when you say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Or maybe you're just discouraged or you're just trying to keep pace. Rely on your brothers and sisters in the Lord to run alongside you and say, you got this. Keep your eyes focused on that finish line. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Don't look around. Don't feel your legs. Don't think about what you did in the past. But make sure your focus and your attention is on Jesus Christ. And you can accomplish the things that he has for you. Bow your heads with me if you would. Just for an opportunity for us to be focused and for me to know how to pray. Is there someone here that would say, Pastor Darrell, you're right. There's things I need to lay down in my life. Would you just raise up your hand so I could see it and pray for you? Amen. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never made that decision to follow him. You've never repented of your sin, called out to the Lord for salvation. I want to encourage you tonight. When we start singing, we're singing a song called, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And maybe it's the first time you can say that with integrity and say, yes, I'm following Jesus. If when we start singing, you need to accept the Lord and you want to pray with someone about that, come to one of the pastors here. Say, I need Jesus. That's exactly what I said to the pastor when I accepted Christ. I need Jesus. Maybe you're just, as we've talked all week, we have such a distracted world. You just need your brothers and sisters to cheer you on. Pray and ask God that he would send people your way to run with you. Get more involved in what you're doing here at Emmanuel and be that voice to somebody else. Maybe you know somebody else who maybe isn't even here tonight that needs a call of encouragement. Say, you got this. Don't look at circumstances, look at Jesus. Allow the Lord to show you that. Father, we turn this time over to you and we have been blessed to be in your word tonight. And we pray, God, I pray, God, that you would take these burdens, Lord, that I have. You know I have. Lord, I lay them down tonight. I need you to carry them. Lord, I worry so much about those boys. I pray, God, that you would just take that. I don't want to carry it anymore. For my friends here, my family, my brothers and sisters, Lord, I pray you would help them lay down the burdens and the sin that gets us all mixed up. That we could walk out of this place today with our eyes fixated on you, our beautiful Savior. Lord, we love you. We need you. We trust you. We are dependent upon you. We submit our lives to you and we submit everything to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.